trap underneath this. I think I said it wrong. Good morning. Nice to see all of you here this morning. More or less around 2,000 years ago, a man came to Earth with some very interesting news. Contrary to popular belief, he started to tell the people who were willing to listen that God was not somewhere up in the sky among the stars, and that he was not in some holy mountain or in some special book, and definitely not in a building that was built by human hands. As a matter of fact, he said a most amazing thing. In so many words, he said, the secret place of the Most High is within you. And he said this because he himself had come to the realization that the kingdom of God was not a physical place, but a stratum of consciousness. And this morning, as we begin the spiritual part of the service, it would be wise to remind ourselves that each one of us is the house of prayer. There is no other such thing as a house of prayer out here in the world, but within us. Within us is the temple where prayers are answered. And it would also be wise to remind ourselves that you and I are to become the instruments through which heaven is established on earth. Because it is here in this temple where we find the answer to every human need. It is here within ourselves, in the deep silence, in the center of each one of us. At those moments that we call meditations, where a presence can be felt to say, I am with you always. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Just be still. Just be still. And know that I am God. This morning we have an opportunity to establish a spiritual point of reference from which to live. So this morning let us share the statement of being that you will find on page 2 of your Sunday program. Now all this statement does is simply remind us that as a child of God, whatever God is, we are. And after we share the statement, we will have a moment of silence for personal contemplation and meditation. Let us begin. God is all, both invisible and visible. One presence, one mind, one power is all. This one that is all is perfect light, perfect love, and perfect substance. Man is the individualized expression of God and is ever one with his perfect life, perfect love, and perfect substance. this time, I would like to ask our ushers to please step forward. Blessings that have been bestowed upon each one of us. And for the love in which we share these blessings with one another. For this deep sense of giving and sharing, O most gracious God, we give you thanks. Thank you. There are dozens of instances throughout the Bible where the word kingdom appears. Now, the definition of a kingdom, and as many of us already know, we've studied history, a kingdom is a place. It's a realm, a land, a territory, usually ruled or governed by a king. We know that. But there are no people to be governed or ruled in this particular kingdom that the Bible talks about. Only an infinite substance out of which all things are made. This substance is so pure, so perfect, so whole, that it has never been touched even by the highest of human minds. In the Old Testament, it was called the Promised Land. Jesus referred to it as the Kingdom of Heaven. And he said that this particular realm of existence, with its inexhaustible substance, was within the individual, within you and within me. But no surgeon has ever found it. Because the man was not referring to a physical place in a physical body or even in the visible universe. What Jesus was talking about was a state, a very specific stratum of consciousness, an awareness of being. This kingdom of heaven is a place at the center of our being where God and God's creation can be found. Now, the significance of this truth for all of us here this morning is that no one has to go anywhere when they wish to commune with God. There is no need to go through a multitude of physical motions, like lighting candles or burning incense or getting on our knees and playing music in the background. None of that. But of quietly and silently and trustingly acknowledging that right where I am is a guidance from on high and a protection and a supply that the world knows not of. Not unlike what the man said thousands of years ago, God is in this place, meaning within himself. God is within this place, and I knew it not. It's not unlike the discovery that a primitive man made thousands and thousands of years ago. One day, this primitive individual was sitting by a forest when a branch fell down. Branches had always been falling down. But on this particular day, for whatever reason, the primitive man noticed it. He went to the branch that had just fallen, picked it up, and threw it up. And of course, it fell down again. He did this several times with the same result. He picked up a rock. He threw it up, and of course, it came down also. Something within him began to stir. He began to get excited. Everything he picked up, rocks, branches, grass, everything, he threw it up and it all came down. The man did not give it a name. This individual had just discovered gravity. Gravity had always existed. He actually lived and moved and had his being in gravity without knowing it. Until one day he became consciously aware of it. And it changed his life forever. Didn't do a thing to the other people, but it did to him. A good number of years ago, a young lady made an appointment to see her minister. She wanted to talk but a young man who had just come into her life. And she began by naming all of his positive attributes. She said to her minister, he was a gentleman, a kind man, very giving. He was educated. He had started on a fine career. And she said, I believe that for the first time in my life, I have discovered love. I agreed with her. And that's as far as I went. But what I really wanted to say to her, and of course she was in no mood for this, what I wanted to say was, but you've always been in love. You're just now becoming aware of it. I so much wanted to say to her that she was finally becoming aware of the very love in which she lived and moved and had her being for as long as she had been on this earth. And in the very same way, I say to you that whatever you call lack in your life, there is no lack. It's all a matter of realizing that the substance out of which all things are made, a substance that has no form, no shape, no quality, this infinite and invisible substance out of which all things are made is not anything separate and apart from any of us. The key to a fulfilling and a satisfying life is becoming simply aware of this substance out of which all things are made and in which we live, move, and have our being. And I strongly believe that what we will share this morning, and especially in the degree that we choose to commit ourselves to a practice, I believe that what we will share this morning can become the difference in your life between health and disease, between success and failure, between love and fear. I do believe that this morning's lesson can be the difference in your life between a sense of lack and a sense of abundance. Because what we're going to share this morning will be our personal relationship with life. Not life as it exists at the moment, but life as it exists in the kingdom of heaven. This life in the kingdom of heaven has been called many names throughout the ages. This life, we know it as God, as Allah, as Yahweh, as the Father, as the Christ, as Truth. It goes by many names. As a matter of fact, the people of not so long ago had a word which I really like because it describes the immediacy of this life. They called it Emmanuel, which literally translated means God with us. God in us. Now, knowing everything that has just been said this morning, and even agreeing with what has been said this morning, does nothing at all to improve our human existence. Nothing whatsoever. Because it is not human understanding that changes lives for the better. Human understanding does not heal, nor does it answer prayers. But the presence of Emmanuel as a living activity within our own consciousness, this something, for lack of a better word, this something that is beyond description, but that at a particular moment in our lives we're consciously aware of, this is the very Father within that Jesus talked about, that heals the sick and feeds the hungry and raises the dead. And by dead, I mean whatever it is that is dead in your lives at the moment. A relationship, perhaps. A career. Let me say to you this morning that healings and answered prayers and dreams do come true. Don't let people tell you otherwise. But not because one day God decided to do something that he hadn't been doing before, but because one day an individual decided to do something that he or she hadn't been doing before. Individuals are healed in every facet of life, mentally, emotionally, physically. And by physically, that does not mean simply the physical body, but the home life, the financial life, the career life. The healing process begins when an individual begins to change his focus from the outer to the inner, from a visible universe to an invisible realm of life called the kingdom. In other words, healings take place when we become consciously aware of Emmanuel, the Father within, the Christ in you, by whatever name. But keep in mind that healings take place when they do. Don't ever believe that it's because of something that you yourself have done, something that you yourself have made happen, because you haven't. It is not you or I that bring health into our bodies or harmony into our relationship. Health is always here. Abundance is always here. Love, peace, they're always here. Gravity was always here. It's all a matter of discovering it. But when I say discovering it, I mean becoming consciously aware of it. Not a single one of us have ever created a healthy heart or a perfect job. And any attempt to make something happen through mental manipulation or through physical effort is actually an exercise in futility. And yet, it has happened. There were thousands of instances where individuals have prolonged family relationships or romantic relationships or business relationships through sheer mental and physical manipulation. But two things happen. That's like squeezing a rubber ball. Because the moment we release the pressure, it bounces right back to its original form. And the second thing that happens is that there is always a price to pay for this, which many of us are not aware of. The effort, physical effort, mental effort, emotional effort to try to make something happen, so many times outpictures itself in the mind as stress, tension, anxiety, and in our feelings as a fear of failure, of being without. And these two combined qualities of life eventually outpicture themselves in the body as some kind of disease. There is always a price to pay when we try to force anything to happen. Even the Master himself said that he of himself could do nothing. That it was the Father within that doeth the works. Emmanuel, God with us. Now, everything we call the human experience, everything, divine science teaches this. Our human experience is the result of some activity taking place within our own minds. We never see things as they are, but only as we are in consciousness at the moment. What did the poet said? Beauty is in the eye of the beholder, as is peace. As a matter of fact, Jesus once said that by our word we would be made whole, and that by our word we would be condemned, meaning rendered useless. So what is this word that blesses and withholds? At a very basic human level, that word is what we feel within ourselves. But it's more than that. It's the one thing that we react to with such an emotional intensity that it overpowers everything else in our lives. But keep in mind that there is such a thing as a spoken word and an unspoken word. We know what the spoken word is. We hear it daily. But there is an unspoken word that if spoken, it will sound like this. Life is so unfair. The world is against me. Because of my age, because of my color, my gender, the list is endless. This basic word is an attitude. It is a strongly held belief. And even though it's not spoken, it is felt by everyone who comes in contact with us. There are those who carry a strongly held belief, as is to say, never trust a man. Never trust a woman. There is danger around every corner. This unspoken word is not only an attitude, but a deeply felt inner conviction. And although it is seldom ever voiced to even our closest friends, it colors and it permeates everything we say and do and think and feel. Which is why Jesus said that it's not what goes into our mouth that makes us sick, but what comes out. That's what makes a man or a woman miserable. As has been said from this pulpit on so many occasions, it's not the food that we eat that makes us sick, but that state of mind in which we are eating that makes us sick. It's not what we say, but the way we say it. As a matter of fact, there is what the Bible calls this word that goes out. There is such a thing as a vibration that goes out from each one of us. And it's been measured in laboratories. So this is not just mental nonsense. But it's been measured in laboratories that this vibration that is going out from each one of us on a daily basis is in complete harmony with where we are in consciousness at the moment. Instruments have been used to measure a sense of well-being, as well as a sense of stress and tension and anxiety. These instruments can measure a sense of peace and well-being, as well as a sense of fear and hate. And if instruments can pick up these vibrations, so can we. You'd be surprised if we could only read. All of us carry a big sign in front of us saying, stay away, I'm in a bad mood. I'm sure we've seen these signs at home with some family members, a mate, a sibling, at work, with colleagues in our neighborhoods. And it is so sad that so many people walk throughout life as if walking on eggshells, afraid to antagonize those who are at times so close to us, because we're picking up those vibrations. Many of us have had an experience of sitting in a room, in a place next to a stranger, and without saying a word, you can pick up these vibrations. You know whether they're in a good mood or a bad mood. And it's not how they sit or how they stand. And it's not the way they are dressed. And it has nothing to do with whatever titles they may or may not have. And yet it's all of these things. It's the complete package. But it's something else. It's their identification with life. It's their identification with life. A life that is saying to them without their knowing it, I will be with you according to your heart. Bernard Emerson said, what you are speaks louder than what you say you are. rhetorical question to all of you. Have you ever questioned what it is that you say or feel the moment you wake up in the morning? So many times that first word or that first feeling establishes the pattern for the entire day. And unless it is changed, it establishes the pattern for our entire lives. So what is this word that goes out from within us on a daily basis? Is it condemning? Or is it forgiving? Is it God-centered? Or is it world-centered? In the book of Isaiah, we are reminded that this word does not return unto us void. What I am trying to say to you this morning is that at all times and in every place, even as we sit here this morning, there is a word going out from within each one of us. The physical body will either rise or fall. Relationships will either rise or fall according to the word that is going out from within each one of us. Now, having said all of this, in so many words, Paul reminded us that each one of us is the temple of God, the place where Emmanuel dwelleth in full. Paraphrasing Paul, Emmanuel is in his holy temple, which temple you are. It is Emmanuel as an activity within our own consciousness that heals. It is your conscious awareness of Emmanuel that prospers and restores. It is Emmanuel, God with you and in you, that answers prayers. Now, we begin this lesson this morning by saying that healings and answered prayers and dreams do come true, especially in the degree that we commit ourselves to a practice. What is this practice? Every now and then, years ago, someone would call the office. We're talking about 15, 20, 30 years ago. And even today, I still receive calls. And in so many words, they say, will you say a prayer for me? Will you hold me in the light? And my usual response has been, of course, I will be with you. My responsibility as a practitioner and minister in divine science is to place that request, as well as the individual who is requesting prayer. Now don't be shocked. I place the request and the individual as far away from my mind as I can. I simply drop the request as well as the individual. And I immediately begin identifying, not with a personality and not with a problem, not even with the world, but with that that is holy and sacred that doeth the works. Emmanuel. I'm not about healings. I'm not about personalities. I am about truth. It's not health that I seek for myself or for others, nor supply, nor love, peace, and happiness, or whatever it is that the individual calls for help, but that I myself may find myself in that substance out of which all things are made, because it is my own personal awareness of Emmanuel and his holy temple that is with me and in me is the only power and the only substance and the only life. There is none else. And it is my identification with this life that literally goes out omnidirectionally. And all who are open and receptive receive the blessings. Even though this presence is ever with me and in me, as it is in all of us, I confess, as is often the case, I am not always conscious of this presence. So I have work to do. And here is the practice that I mentioned a few minutes ago. I need to be still. I need to die to the world of people and places and things and situations and conditions, even if it's for a few moments. So as best as I can, I choose to take no thoughts. I let go of every temptation to try to make something happen to anyone. And I stay in that state. Rather, I try to stay in that state for as long as I can. I call it a listening state. And until I get an inner confirmation, some kind of inexplicable activity that I am faintly aware of, I go through the practice over and over and over again. And to the degree that I begin to feel this presence that this morning we're calling Emmanuel, in that degree, I know without a doubt that a healing process has begun to take place. It may happen instantly. It may take an hour, or a day, or a week. But I dare not stop the practice, because sooner or later, something will happen. My friends, in truth, not a one of us is separate and apart from God. That doesn't mean that we are aware of it. Most of the time we are world conscious rather than kingdom conscious. So a practice that allows healings and answered prayers and dreams to come true is a matter of turning to that center in the midst of us where God abides in full. It is a silence. So we take no thought for anything or anyone. And silently and quietly, we say within ourselves, yes, God, you are here in the midst of me. With all of your love and all of your wisdom and all of your power, speak. I am listening. These are not words. These are not even thoughts. It is an attitude. It is a state of mind. And so I sit and I listen and I wait. And I sit and I listen and I wait. Until the realization comes that Emmanuel is in his holy temple, which temple we are. Shall we make this lesson practical? Will you now join me for our closing meditation, which is a state of listening? As we sit and we listen, as we open ourselves and become receptive to this indescribable presence of pure love, this presence that has given us this very moment a sense of peace that the world knows not of. Yes, God is here. Saying to each one of us from the depths of our being, be still, my beloved. Be still. And know that I am God. Emmanuel in the center of your being. He's blessing you and keeping you. Emmanuel shines his love upon you and is gracious unto you. Even as we sit here this morning. This is the holy and sacred presence in the midst of us that lifts our consciousness and gives us peace.